Hello and welcome back to the UFO and Aliens podcast. I'm Rick Black.
And I'm Robert Wiley.
Apologize for last week. We couldn't get our schedules together, so we couldn't record a podcast. I appreciate your patience because I know we do have our 14 listeners.
Yeah, it was a rough kind of week, and going into the following week, really busy, super busy.
Oh, absolutely. And you went out of town.
Yeah, I was out of town for work, and so everything, trying to get ready for that at work and then be gone from work and then all that stuff. So
Yeah, I think your wife came over here one of those days and just kind of hung out with us for a while. Yeah, she's all by herself.
She was bored, She was bored, and you guys had to entertain her, so I appreciate that.
Oh, that was easy.
She's easily entertained.
She is easily entertained. We also, after just a crunching week, had to get together, and we went on a little adventure.
We did go yesterday. On an adventure. It was a lot of fun. We're still recovering a little bit, but
I'm tired.
Yes, we're getting too old to go on these adventures, but we went and hung out at a pirate speakeasy.
we stayed on a houseboat.
Yeah.
So we took Charlie with us, and Charlie, I can't really, you have to be able to see it. She's standing on this floating dock, and she has her legs spread as far as she can, and she's really low to the ground, like, this thing is going to tip over. I don't know how you guys are just standing there.
I don't know how. It took her a while to get her sea legs, didn't it?
Man, she couldn't get out of there fast enough.
Yeah, she was ready to leave when it was time to leave. And she was ready to leave.
Yeah,
she wanted breakfast first.
She slept good too.
She enjoyed breakfast. So.
Oh yeah, we went to find this nice. There are a lot of places in San Augustine that are off the beaten path, not in the touristy area, and this is a foodie town.
I'm telling you, and we were lucky enough to run into a couple of those for dinner last night and then breakfast this morning.
Yeah, we have a friend that has a place there, and we. I guess we called him. I don't know. We texted him.
Yeah, we leaned on his experience.
We went to this restaurant that he recommended, and he just popped by.
Yeah, and they knew him. They knew him. He eats like a local, even though he doesn't live there. It's just a vacation destination, kind of a retreat for him.
But he hooked us up with some really cool places. We had breakfast, and we took Charlie because we had an outdoor table, and
it was awesome.
Yeah,
weather was great. It was a little chilly last night, but it wasn't too bad.
It was nice.
We had some incredible Uber drivers in St. Augustine, some incredible adventures. And if any of you have done Uber, you know, that's a great thing, but it can be a weird thing sometimes.
We got into our Uber and this lady gets in and she's like, are you Habib? Or And he's like, no. He's like, well, you said it was a black SUV.
I'm
like,
there's more than one.
This isn't it.
And then the first lady that picked us up to take us to our destination, we get in the car sounded like the engine was going to fall out. I didn't know if we would make it the mile and a half we were going. And then the heater was on like 82, so we're all
hot.
Just...
I was in the back seat. I'm like, what's going on? Why is it so hot in here?
Sweating to death. Yeah. And so once
it was a short trip, so...
Thank goodness, But it was a good time. If you ever get an opportunity to go to St. Augustine, it is a wonderful city to hang out. It's very eclectic, lots of art, lots of good music, just a really great town. And it's the oldest town in the United States.
Yeah.
A lot of history there, a lot of fun.
Yep. And if you live here, fourth grade is your field trip to St. Augustine.
There you go. You learn all about that
all
stuff.
Fourth graders go on their field trip to St. Augustine. There's a lot of historical things that they can hit.
See, that's what I'm envious of people who grow up in Florida. You have all this stuff that you can go do where I grew up. It was not that fun for the fourth grade trip. I think it was outdoor school, and you learned about the different types of grass and dirt and this, that, and the other. It was boring.
Okay. All right.
So...
All right. Well, we got some stories today.
Let's do it.
Finally. Right?
Yep. We're back at it.
Okay. You want to go first?
I can go first.
Okay,
go up to the wilderness of Oregon back in December of 2002.
All right.
Okay. Don't know with the report, they stayed anonymous, obviously, but this is what a lady, a witness, and her husband described seeing one evening, and I can't wait to hear your thoughts on it.
Okay.
So they had laid down. Getting ready to go to bed, getting comfortable. And she, the wife lays on the edge of the bed closest to the window.
And that's why we don't do it live. Y'all missed a really loud cough.
Yeah, I apologize for that. So where were we?
On the edge of the bed. She's closest to the window
Closest to the window.
I don't know why.
She likes to look out the window.
Maybe he's closest to the door
to protect her
if somebody comes in with a knife.
Exactly. So she's kind of gazing out, and she estimates it about 10 to 15 minutes after 10 o'clock. she notices a strong glow of a light begin to appear from the top left corner of the window. And it's coming from over the roof's edge and just beyond a thin line of trees, which cover a 60-foot stretch between the house and a large expanse of open country just beyond those trees. So they're out there.
Is there a color to the light?
She just says it's very brilliant.
Okay, I would think that would be a white light.
White light, yeah. Okay. So she says it's fluorescent, looks like an airborne craft.
Maybe a bluish white.
That's what she sees. plate-like, and it floated silently and slowly to the right.
Oh, we're not talking about the light anymore.
No, this
I'm still stuck on the light.
No. She sees the light, and then it slowly moves over, and she sees this plate-like fluorescent light with this aircraft, this spaceship.
Okay.
So something she doesn't know what it is, okay?
But it was shaped like a disc.
Shaped like a disc, and she says it's floating silently and slowly to the right. So she originally saw it in the left-hand corner, and it's making this slow descent across her window from left to right at this point. And she says it's so dark outside that it kind of creates an outline, and she's able to track kind of the slow movement because it's so dark. Well, she's trying to wake her husband up, and if, you know, he's like, what's going on? You know, so he has a little bit of trouble rousing awake to see what she's talking about. He finally, after, you know, her, you know, yelling at him for a while and shaking him, he gets up and now he sees what she's looking at. And he's like, oh, my gosh. And they both go to the window to look out and see this thing. And they say now in full view, this is 100-foot wide glowing craft tilted slightly. And it came to a stop just beyond the trees, about 60 feet away from them and about 50 feet up.
Make any sound?
No sounds. She reports that most of the disc was glowing like the brightness of an X-ray, and there was a dome-like structure, and that was the only part not illuminating, kind of creating a dark void of the brightly lit aircraft.
Okay. I got stuck on X-ray.
Right.
You know, the light board,
the light
that they put it on.
Right.
So it's like it's on a light background.
Right.
And it's shining through it.
Shining through. Okay. And she's seeing that and sees something at the top, a dome shape at the top, but it's not illuminated. It's the only thing that kind of creates a void. But because it's so dark and this light is so bright, she can see the outline of it.
Okay.
Okay. Husband's still kind of perplexed. He doesn't know what's going on, you know, and they both kind of look at each other and go, we're looking at a UFO right now, you know, and she describes the craft being totally motionless at that point, but just to the right side of the craft, it was beginning to disappear as if another dark, unseen object was traveling from right to left in front of it. It's almost like an eclipse almost, you know, there was something that it looked like to them was covering that aircraft. She said she watched it till the craft could no longer be seen and was convinced that the craft had not left, but was still out there floating in the same spot as where she had last seen it. And maybe the lights just went down. I can tell you're confused by all of this.
No, I'm sitting here watching you and you're talking with your hands. Do you realize that I'm the only one that can see you?
It's the way I communicate.
You are. He's still doing it. So are we talking about two craft? Where's the light source coming from? Is the light coming from behind it?
Yeah, I think what's really actually happening is it's the original light source she's seeing, and I don't know if it's because of the darkness with the wilderness out in Oregon. I'm sure it's probably very dense forest as it's moving from left to right. Maybe it's passing behind some trees or structures she can't see, so she believes that it looks like something is dark and going almost like an eclipse covering that craft.
Oh, okay.
You see what I'm saying?
So the trees are blocking it.
I think that's...
So the craft itself is illuminated.
Exactly.
The whole thing was like 100 feet wide and it's illuminated.
Right.
Okay.
I don't think there was really two crafts. I think probably that was eyes just reading through the report. And you know how some of these reports are. You got to kind of... They're not really done the best.
Oh, yeah.
The best. So...
Nobody goes back and... Like reads over it and corrects all the grammatical errors
and go, hey, does this make sense? Does this, you know?
Yeah, sometimes you'll say the word twice.
Is it clear? Yeah.
And if you're reading it, you're like, oh, we got to catch that. You can't do that. Yeah. So you read it, process it, read another story, process it, and then you're good to
see go. What's happening. So husband and wife have a little bit of a, you know, conversation about what they've just seen. And then the wife, you know, shushes her husband. She hears something.
Shush, hold on.
Oh, she hears something outside.
Okay.
This is where it gets a little strange.
Bigfoot?
She goes up and puts her ear kind of to the window. The window's open at this point. And she says just outside and straight ahead in the darkness, she could hear the sound of footprints crunching through the leaves and coming towards the house.
Footsteps?
Footsteps.
Did they say footprints in the report?
Yep. Steady footprints.
Okay.
And coming from three separate locations in the darkness outside the window.
Okay, that is creepy. And they are out by themselves.
Right.
Okay. arm yourselves, kids.
Get ready, yeah. So she feels like whatever this was getting close to the house. So she closed the window, shut the shade. So I don't know if she's 13. It sounds like something a kid would
do. Pull the covers over your head.
She did. She said she jumped back in bed. And they eventually fell asleep and
what?
Nothing more was. I know. Isn't that the biggest letdown?
No. Okay. So you get your shotgun, you get your handgun, get your flashlight.
You get ready for battle.
You get out there and what's coming up against up to my house? Is it Bigfoot?
Could be anything.
You know, we have a lot of Bigfoot reports from that general area. Right. Oregon and Washington Oregon. State. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So
a lot of people
think that Bigfoot came here in a spaceship. And he is in fact an alien. Bigfeet are aliens.
Well, we were talking last night. I had never actually watched Ancient Aliens, and we started watching something
I've watched this so much. I'm in the back bedroom of this boat.
And he's like, Ancient Aliens like, is
I could tell that's Ancient Aliens. You're watching it.
So now I'm fascinated with Ancient Aliens. But
you have to go watch it, make your own opinion.
Right.
And then go back and listen to my podcast about Ancient Aliens. There's a lot of information on you're only getting one side of the story.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, they do talk a lot. And I noticed in one of the episodes there, I mean, we're taking it from a totally different view. I mean, so they kind of admit that. So that's refreshing.
A lot of the things that they do is very intriguing. It's very fun to watch. I mean, that's why they've been on, 20 seasons?
Right.
All right, we're off track.
We got way off track.
Okay, so we got the spaceship.
We got the spaceship.
Footprints, our footsteps.
Right, they hear the footsteps.
They don't call the police.
They don't do nothing. They say they go. They finally fall asleep. They don't hear anything else the rest of the night. Said it's in a remote. The report wraps up with the home is in a remote area. A lot of country around them. Very few neighbors. They went to speak to other areas. The people who took the report in hopes of finding more witnesses hadn't happened.
Nobody else saw this.
Nobody else saw
this. Did they go out and see if there's any footprints in the grass or dirt or wherever they had on the ground?
They did, but this is where they lack sometimes in this. And because this was such a rare case, you couldn't find anything of a paper cut. Nobody else covered it.
How long did the whole incident last from when they first started seeing the coming into the view of the window?
They estimated the viewing or the sighting was about 5 to 7 minutes in total.
And they couldn't find a camera.
Right. Well, it's 2002.
Well, I mean, it's not like now where your phone's right there. You'll pick it up, take
a
picture.
Got a great camera.
People had digital cameras were pretty big back then. Mm-hmm. Film cameras were still big.
I would say the husband was probably annoyed because he was asleep and it took him a while. And it does mention in there, they kind of have a little argument about what took him so long to get up when she was calling for him.
Yeah.
And then they see it. The footsteps is what got me, but I was very disappointed at the fact that they just shut the window. They didn't if you just see something like...
How can you go to sleep if you hear footsteps coming toward
Absolutely.
You from three different directions after you just saw an enormous illuminated UFO?
And I would think that if you live somewhere like that, you probably do have some kind of protection, right? You're not going to live out in the middle of nowhere without a shotgun, something.
Coyotes, wolves, bears.
Right. You got to protect yourself, your property, things like that.
Yeah.
And you can't wait for the authorities to get there.
So does this say anything about what these people do for a living? Do they travel for work? Are they, forestry rangers?
Here's all it says to wrap it up. The location of the sighting is being withheld in case another report from this area comes in. And that's it.
Okay, that was a buzzkill.
Sorry.
No, it's okay. You didn't write the story.
I didn't write the story.
There's a lot of potential in that story.
There's a great amount of potential in the story, and that's what we talk about sometimes, that some of these reports, you get into them, you start reading them, and you're like, this is fascinating, this is awesome, and then you go, well, why didn't you ask this? Or why didn't... So I don't know if it's one of those things like you've discussed before, you know, everything's a nail.
There's also people are going to react differently when they're in the moment.
Absolutely.
If you had the same thing happen to you, you're going to act differently than I'm going to react.
Right.
I would like to think that I would go out mm-hmm. with a flashlight and try to find out what's going on. Mm-hmm. Nervous? Heck yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's that age old question, right? If you're ever around an emergency, you hope you would step in front of the danger and how would you react? You know, you always hope you'd react, and you're right. I mean, people react in weird, different ways. And yeah. Especially if it's something like that, you've not really seen it before. It's kind of, hey, am I half awake, half asleep here? Hey, did they have a bottle of wine before they went to bed? I don't know.
You start, you're reading this and she's seeing this before the husband woke up. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking, is she dreaming? But once you wake the husband up, they both can't be dreaming the same thing.
Same thing, right.
So
I don't know.
She's got a witness.
It was an interesting story. I wish there was more to it. And a lot of these are like that. We run into a lot of these stories that really have a lot of interesting aspects to it. And you would love to have follow-up questions, or I would.
Yeah. Okay. So, that it?
Yeah. So be careful when you go to Oregon.
Well, we
Bigfoot,
we have
UFOs.
We have phones. Everybody has phones.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, even when you go to bed, you get your phone right there. Most people.
Yeah, you just need to be prepared.
Right. Pull it up, camera, boom. You even got a flashlight on your phone. I wouldn't take that outside in the Oregon looking for some creepy footsteps. I would take a better flashlight. But, yeah. All right, so I've got one.
Okay.
This happens a lot where this happened in Hungary. Hungary?
Yeah.
Hungary. It happened in Hungary. The man, it was 1996, okay. October 27th. Lajos Kasina was his name. And he's visiting his girlfriend's parents' house and his girlfriend. So okay. He's at his girlfriend's parents' house visiting. And he takes a picture of her in the garden, her parents' garden. Didn't think anything of it. Sends the pictures off to get developed. When he gets them back, there is a disc in the background. There is a UFO in the sky behind her.
But he didn't see it when he took the picture.
Didn't think anything of it. And it looks like a disc.
Mm-hmm.
Looks like a, you know, it's a little fuzzy, like they all are.
Right.
But he's not focusing on the UFO. He's focusing on the girl in the foreground. And
yeah, I'm looking at the picture right now.
Like you said, he didn't notice it when he mm-hmm. took the picture because he's not looking for it. He's taking the picture of her. Sends it off, gets it developed, come back, sees the UFO. They decide they don't want to do anything about it. Well, that's weird, right?
Right. Yeah.
But he has some friends that send it to the Hungarian version of MUFON.
Okay.
It's called HUFON.
Okay.
The Hungarian UFO Network. So they actually analyze it. And they say this hasn't been tampered with. It's mm-hmm. not a model hanging from a string. Mm-hmm. It's nobody threw something in the background. The picture was not blurred, they think, because the UFO was not moving mm-hmm. or was moving very slow. So what could it possibly be?
They even have blown it up here in the picture. I'm looking at it because we posted it on our X account.
Yeah, in the corner there, there's a blown up version of it. So what do you see?
Yeah, it's a metallic, very metallic. You can see the sun glaring off of it on the lower left side. Very circular. I don't see any lights of any kind.
It looks metallic.
Very metallic, yeah. And it's up kind of against a gray sky. So I would think in 96, since you're taking it with film, you know, you're looking through it. Through the viewfinder there, and you're probably, because you are focused on your subject, which was his girlfriend, you might not catch that at the time. But yeah, it doesn't look like there's any kind of propulsion or anything on there. You don't see any lights, really.
It's just sitting there, yeah.
Yeah.
It's just a still photo, so.
Right. It's probably moving a little bit. There's a little bit of motion blur, like there's some movement on it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But they had the negative. HUFON got the negative. and they analyze that too. And if you don't know what a negative is, back in the day, we used to take pictures, and the film was the negative, and they would there's some people that could do it themselves. They could process,
have their own dark rooms.
But you send it to a lab, and the lab takes this film, and the negative is the picture where all the colors are reversed.
Yeah, it looks kind of like an X-ray. You have to hold You have to hold it up to the light to see what picture it is, and then
they project that onto your film paper, and then that's where you get your pictures. They can't see any kind of
manipulation.
No, they say this is not a hoax. This is the real deal.
The craft is there on the negative. So if it was a hoax, it wouldn't be on that negative, unless.
They also said that it's not a flaw in the film.
Right. Yeah, that's too weird.
Because that could happen too, where sometimes people see ghosts in their pictures. Sometimes that's just a flaw in the film.
It's a flaw in the film, or maybe you have your exposure set wrong, or your shutter speed is wrong. It's a double exposure, and so that gives.
So yeah, you could do a double exposure where you would take a picture, and then you would rewind the film and take a picture on that same piece of film.
Right.
And you would get double exposure. You got two pictures in one. They said that didn't happen here. Which would be kind of a neat trick. But there are ways to tell if it's a double exposure. And this wasn't. The first thing that hit me was, look at this. Look at the picture. You could tell that the light, if you look at the UFO, the light is coming from behind the photographer and to the left. He's taking this picture, and she looks like a black blob.
Right, like she's really
the light's behind.
The light's behind her. She's facing away from source.
I said that backwards. The light is not behind the photographer. The light's behind the subject.
She's what we call backlit.
Right,
she's backlit.
She's backlit, and you can't. You know, I'm blowing this thing up. I can barely see her face.
A lot of shadows.
So he probably either doesn't know anything about photography, or maybe.
Or that was part of the hoax, right?
Maybe.
Hey, take a crappy picture, and then nobody will think that we're messing around with it.
Right. So that's there you go. Maybe he doesn't know about, because
I think you're right. I think that's probably the furthest thing
before from the picture was taken. If he's standing there looking at her, he can see her fine. But when you take the picture, the camera doesn't see her fine.
Right.
Because the shutter goes so fast.
So fast. And the light. And that's what's weird is because the bottom left-hand corner of the object that's behind her, you can see it's illuminated. So that's a light source that's hitting it. So if he would have turned her in that direction, her face would have been lit more evenly and more bright. Yeah,
if she just turned to her right a little bit.
Just a little bit.
And it still would have been fine.
Exactly. And since this is film, the manipulation, like there's no way in my opinion, the way this is set up and the way it's set as far as your focus on the camera and your focal length, that would be very hard to put an object like that from a string anywhere. And it
That's not on a string.
Right.
It's a really good hoax.
They've thought of something that nobody else has thought of, because if it's on the negatives and they can tell that it's not been, you know, this isn't a double exposure.
I don't think it's a hoax. I think it's an actual picture. What it is?
Could be anything. That's why we call them
UFOs.
They're unidentified.
They are unidentified. It could be nothing.
They're an object and they're flying.
Could it be a balloon?
I mean, you can't maybe rule out everything.
Look at it.
It could be.
Could be like a Mylar balloon.
It could be a balloon that is halfway deflated. And if the wind's blowing and you catch it, I mean, because when you're taking a picture, you're taking a moment in time, right? You're just taking that one frame of time.
We were driving. I think it was we were going up to St. Augustine, and the wind, we were at this intersection. The wind had picked up this napkin. It was like a brown napkin. There's a Dairy Queen right there. It probably came from the Dairy Queen. And this, it picked up the napkin and it took it super high in the air. It was above the lights, above the traffic lights. It just like took it up there and it kind of hung there. If something like that is in the air when you take a picture, you may not notice it.
It's the same kind of optical illusion of a double exposure almost, where you think you have a ghosting effect, right? So it could be the same thing. It could be a grocery bag, a plastic grocery bag.
Plastic grocery bags do that, yes. You can't tell if it's windy because it's a still photograph. Mm-hmm. But the background is fuzzy because he's not focusing on that. The foreground is dark. It's a terrible picture. it really is a terrible picture as far as like, hey, this is a picture of my girlfriend. can't really see her.
Maybe it's his sister and so he just took a bad picture.
No, it's his girlfriend.
Yeah, I know, but so he could tell his friends he had a girlfriend. So he took a really bad picture.
All right, I didn't see that one coming. All right, well, yeah. Once again, I think the picture's real. I think
you're right.
But I don't know what it is.
Is it from another world? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't. There's nothing to indicate that.
It's at such a distance, the focal length, where she is and where this object is. It's definitely in the sky.
So where can our listeners see this picture?
They can see it on our X account, formerly known as Twitter.
Okay.
Now it's X.
And it's there now.
It is there right now. We put it on before we even started recording.
And the reason I asked you to do that, right? We get on here, we start talking about, we're going to put the picture on there.
And then we don't get the picture on there. Don't get the picture. So we're trying to do better at that.
If I was a listener, I would be super frustrated.
Yes.
If I'm listening to a podcast and, I want to see that. And absolutely, there's nothing there.
Yeah.
What are these guys talking about? I mean, come on, guys.
We got it. We're doing a better job of it.
Maybe we can get a raise if we do a really good job here.
Maybe Charlie will
get
us a
5% raise.
Yeah.
That would still be nothing.
Charlie will give us a raise.
Yeah. Well, that's all I got.
Okay. Well, I guess we'll wrap things up with what we always wrap up.
Remember.
That's right.
Believe none of what you hear and half of what you read.
If you like the show, we would like to encourage you to help support us. You can do that with just $3 a month. Head over to the website, click on support. We appreciate the help and would be happy to give you a shout out as we do all week. And as we're wrapping this up, have we heard anything from our listeners over the last week? I know we've been getting some regular
I got some correspondence that looked like maybe they were trying to get me to listen to their podcast.
Oh, okay.
Say, hey, I want to be on your podcast. But they did have some nice things to say about how we used a little bit of history and sightings to try to tie things together. I'm like, oh, okay, I'll take that compliment. As far as our one listener goes, I did mail him a sticker.
Good.
But I haven't heard back from him yet.
Well, maybe he was on vacation. It's spring break time. So.
Oh, yeah, it is spring break. Oh, yeah, I'm on vacation.
Yeah, enjoy that.
Well, I hope so. I was thinking this morning, I was coming down, I got a little sore throat, I got a little mucus, maybe a sinus infection, my glands are swollen. I'm like, this is the perfect time to be sick.
When you have some time off.
When I can do whatever I want. I guess I'll lay in bed with a bowl of soup. All right. Do you have a UFO story you'd like to share? We'd love to hear from you. If you'd like for us to look into a particular story, we will do that for you. Just send us an email at ufoandalienpodcast@gmail.com.
Yes, and please go follow us on Twitter X, UFO and Alien Podcast. And like Rick said earlier, we are making a conscious effort to make sure we get those pictures and videos up and out there, and I'll even spend some time this week going back and pulling some of those pictures and making sure we get them with the episode reference on there.
That sounds good. I'm Rick Black.
And I'm Robert Wiley.
And we'll talk to you next time.